Yeah, the one thing that I don't get about, like, every time I see a comic book character in a death battle, every single freaking one of them has got, like, femtosecond reaction time. It's like, how do any of these heroes ever get beaten by anything?
Is that the point of comic books? So they don't get beaten?
Well, yeah, but they don't have to, you know, like, they're talking about Black Canary now. It's like, yeah, but she could react within a fifth of a second. It's
So
like, what do you mean fifth of a second?
what did you just send me here?
That's the link
to Death Battle, right?
To help people understand
Oh, okay. Why has it got an ad for Gala on it? I don't, or Gaia. What is Gaia?
I have no idea.
Isn't Gaia like a Greek term for Earth?
I think it's
well,
like a,
yeah, but
yeah, but it looks New Agey. It's kind of scary.
Sounds New Agey. Gaia. Also sounds like a soap.
Yeah.
Hey, you sure it's not something shit? From Gwyneth Paltrow?
That's goop shit.
Oh, yeah.
Vaginal balls. That's what she sells.
I know. It's foul.
I have a hard time squaring the fact that I really like her as Pepper Potts with the fact that she runs this pseudoscience BS place.
Here's how you do it. Actors are pretending to be people that we like, but we actually don't like them.
Hmm.
Never forget that. You like Pepper Potts. You don't like Gwyneth Paltrow. They're different people. They just look the same.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes. Because sometimes makeup does a lot more than you realized. Gwyneth Paltrow being a good example. I shot an interview with her about 3 years ago. She was in town here to push some goop shit, and I was doing camera operating for it. Let me tell you something. The camera is very kind to her.
Wow. Now, if we use this in the pre-roll.
Now you go ahead. You can make fun of camera. Me doing Gwyneth Paltrow. No one doesn't give a shit about that.
Except for the Gwyneth goop fans. All right.
They do not listen to superhero speak.
This is probably true.
And I wouldn't really cry if we did lose them.
It's a very small Venn diagram.
All right. Let's get going here.
Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of Superhero Speak.
But I think many of the people that love this character and that love superheroes in general have used these stories as inspiration to say, you know what? I'm going to do something good in the world. I'm going to make a difference like my hero when I was a kid.
That is my fondest memory of it, because when you're doing comic books, you want them to affect people,
right?
You want people to care. You want to strike emotions. And I knew that Clone Saga was striking a lot of emotions.
Can you imagine Pulp Fiction starring Goofy and Mickey Mouse?
I can totally imagine that.
I'm sure somebody's written that one.
Quarter pounder with cheese and France, Mickey. What? Boy, ale with cheese, Mickey. Yeah, Mickey. I can totally
see.
I would watch the hell out of that movie.
Yes, I gladly saw sacrifice at my progeny to view a mighty Marvel beast.
But Neil Adams is somewhere going, it's my time.
How do you measure success?
Hey everyone, you're listening to Superhero Speak, and I'm your host Dave.
And John.
JD here, yo.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Cool, man, I'm with it. Fighting my age now.
Yeah, I know that 40 really creeps up on you within the first 2 weeks.
I tell you what, I've been sicker in the last 2 weeks than I've been in the past decade. Like, I went from the flu and now I've got a cold. It sucks.
So when are you going
to... keep your coronavirus to yourself.
Where are you going to buy a sports car?
Yeah.
I can't afford a sports car.
You're going to find a way to do that once the midlife crisis kicks in.
No. I think I had my midlife crisis at 30 when I decided to go back and do like combat sports competition. I got rid of that a while ago.
Okay.
I started doing like judo competitions and stuff like that. Like, I scratched that itch.
You know, I know you're 40 and old, but you're only 40, so you still don't know what's coming.
I appreciate that. I'm still full of surprises. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Most of it is the ways in which you're going to feel a lot of pain, but okay.
Bro, I wrestled my whole life. I feel nothing but pain. You merely adapted pain. I was born molded by it.
Okay, well, Bane, did you do anything exciting this week?
Matter of fact, I did. We had the Illinois State Wrestling Tournament this weekend. We broke our school's record for an amount of placers, 6. About the highest percentage of placers, also six. We brought six, all six placed, all six were all state. And we had three finalists, which
That's
was
a
awesome.
A lot of six, six, sixes there.
Because we evil.
I was going to say.
Because we evil, yo. And we had three kids in the finals, and all three lost. So we took third, or second, three times. So, but that's awesome. We were, hey, we were underdogs in every single match, so I'm fine with it. We did good. We had a good year. We have the dual team state, which is like the actual team championship this weekend, so we'll see how that goes. But yeah, it was a good weekend.
It's not bad for a middle-aged coach.
No, still not middle-aged. I plan living to be 112 at least, so.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, you don't get to plan that, but you try. You did your best.
Says you. Prove me wrong.
I don't know, because I don't think I'll make it that long enough to prove it. How about you, John? Anything new and exciting in the world of John O'Grady?
Literally nothing.
Literally? Literally?
Literally nothing. Well, I learned how to start taking the, I don't know, 100 pages of timeline that I've got and start putting it in Scrivener. And it is much easier to see how where everything is now.
Told you.
So, yeah. So it's gonna make continuing writing where I left off much easier. Because I was figuring out that, you know, that was going to be a problem when I don't know how George R.R. Martin does it. He probably has Scrivener too, or, you know, some software, because keeping track of all the things that are supposedly going on in the background while you're writing a scene is just, wow, a lot harder than I thought.
I thought he writes on like a, something ridiculous like a Commodore.
It probably
or
does.
Or something like that. And he doesn't write anymore. When's the last time George Martin wrote anything?
That's true. He's on the Jordan, was it the Robert Jordan plan, right?
So wait, but isn't he supposed to finish up Game of Thrones?
No one cares anymore. We know how it ends.
Well, we know how that ends, and so does he. And now he's going to try and fix it.
He can actually do whatever he wants now.
That is true. It would be the ultimate troll job.
It would be. Maybe his Commodore 64 broke. That's why he never finished it.
If I knew any of the old Commodore 64 games, I'd make some jokes, but I was too young. As old as I am, I was too young to play Commodore 64.
He played the Oregon Trail one too many times and wound up with dysentery.
Sure.
That is usually how you died in that game. Yeah. Sounds like fun. So what have I been up to?
Well, you've been increasing the stock of Ben and Jerry's.
Oh yeah, well there is that. So yeah, I had a really bad weekend diet wise. It started Saturday night when I went out with a group of friends. You know, at least some of them showed up, and some will remain nameless. We went to Chicky and Pete's. Those who aren't familiar, it's a chain.
The hell's that?
It's a chain around Philadelphia. It's seafood and burgers and cheesesteaks, and it started out as a bar. Actually, the one we went to was the original one on Saturday, and you know, I had fries and what they call the double double, which is a cheeseburger topped with roast beef and cheddar cheese. So it's as healthy as it sounds, but it's delicious. And I ended up having like five rum and cokes and two or three beers.
Well,
so you would think, you know, that was good enough, right? And then Saturday, of course, I didn't want to get out of bed.
I wonder why.
And then
there must be some correlation. There.
I don't understand what it is. We ended up, my son and I just ended up ordering Wingstop for dinner. And then a little while later, like he was tired and he went to bed early. I'm sitting there watching TV. The house is quiet. It's like, oh, I hate that anymore. So I go and I'm like, I'm going to get a snack. And I go in the kitchen, open the freezer, and staring at me is a pint of Ben and Jerry's.
Eat me.
Exactly. So this morning, of course, I go to the gym. I increased the weights on about three of the machines that I do in my circuit. I did the bike for 20 minutes, and then I was like, all right, I'm going to add something new. And I walked home from the gym. So that's a 2.5 mile walk after my workout.
That's a long walk.
That's a good thing, though.
But man, my legs are sore, and they've been sore all day. It's a good thing I work from home, because I don't think I would have gone into work by the time I got home.
Well, technically you did go into work, but But
well, yes, you know what I mean. But I wouldn't have gotten gotten dressed and gotten on a bus or you know to go to work. So yeah, that was my my weekend. And but yeah, and I was good all day diet wise. So hopefully I can stick with it. We'll see. I actually noticed something in the mirror. I was shocked. Like I actually have like lines on my stomach now, where like muscles are.
Good for you.
I'm like, what's going on here? I'm used to it just being a blob, so it's scary.
So what you're saying is you're going to carry all of the audio equipment at the next convention?
Sure. Why not? I can do it.
That's an audio. That's a verbal contract.
Oh, damn it. It's on the show.
Awesome. I can add all the stuff that was too heavy for me the last time.
All right. Well, if anyone sees us at our next con and I'm not carrying the equipment, you can call me out on it.
Get his ass to work.
Yeah. That would be the Great Philly Comic Con.
Yes, in April. Mm-hmm. So, yep. You had to tell people. Jeez.
Yes, I did. Did you miss the part where you said that you carry the stuff?
So let's, speaking of people, let's talk a little social media madness.
So we had talked about.
Sorry. Remember that scene in Princess Bride?
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
So we had talked about Sonic beating Birds of Prey
now
at the box
office. I want to say, I saw Birds of Prey last weekend.
Yay or nay?
It was actually better than I thought.
So meh.
Yeah, like, it would be something that I would say if it's on demand and it's free, go see it.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, it's not like Suicide Squad where I'd say take it or leave it, right?
I left it.
It was just, it's a step above that where it's like, yeah, it was kind of entertaining. So, you know, it was actually much better than Suicide Squad.
So it was a colonoscopy.
Well, yeah, in some cases, as long as it's not given to you by Jared Leto.
So, the colonoscopy?
Well, wasn't that what Suicide Squad was? A colonoscopy given to you by Jared Leto?
You know what? That's the greatest movie review I've ever heard. I think we found our show little buzzword for this week.
Colonoscopy? Oh, that's awesome.
By Jared Leto.
The Jared Leto colonoscopy.
There you go. Show title.
So Randy, Random Randy Savage from Colt 45 said, yep, like Flash over the Green Arrow.
I don't get what that means.
The speed, people like Flash better than Green Arrow. People like speed over fast characters over, you know.
Did they though? I mean, like Harley every Quinn. Movie. I mean, like it's not like Sonic's blowing it up at the box office. I mean, every movie drops a lot in its second week. The American box office is designed to drop in your second week.
And both of these movies had a lot of pre-buzz about them. Like,
that's,
you know.
That's a great pre-buzz, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. No, in both cases, like, again, for Birds of Prey, it was Suicide Squad. And for Sonic, it was, well, the design of Sonic.
I bet Birds of Prey winds up being far more profitable because it didn't cost nearly as much and they didn't have to redo half the shit.
Yeah. But again, like, some of the anime people that I keep up with, they liked it. They said it was actually better. Same thing as Birds of Prey. Better than I thought it'd be.
Andrew Mecca Davis said, rolling around at the speed of sound, which I don't get that one either. But
probably a reference to one of the opening songs says Sonic on, yeah, one of the TV series.
Yeah, true. All right, so moving on, we talked about Sam Raimi directing the Doctor Strange 2.
Well,
and I used an old GIF of Sam Raimi. So Dan Kurtz said, totally thought that was Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I don't think they look anything alike, but I could be wrong. And then Shadow...
I'm sorry, I'm looking at the... I just looked at the GIF. That's Sam Raimi before he was Joxer, the whatever, I forget what his name was in Xena, Joxer the Mighty.
No, that you're thinking of his brother, Ted Raimi.
Oh, Tim Raimi, damn it. I get them mixed up.
Most people do.
Yes. And then
it's like the twins. There's really only one of them.
Except the Raimi brothers aren't twins. They're brothers. Shadow Walker 1 said...
Said it was...
They're rumored... Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man might return under Sam Raimi.
There's no rumor of that. That's hodgepodge bogus.
Yeah, but we tried to start that rumor last week. Come on now.
Oh, yeah, you're right. There might be something to it.
Exactly.
Hey, side note, where's this gift from with Sam, with the clearly 90s Sam Raimi?
My guess is that it's from somewhere where they were probably like doing an Evil Dead marathon or something, and... They had like a clip of him before saying, oh, you're here to see my movie kind of thing. That's my guess. Cause that looks like Evil Dead, era Sam Raimi.
Yeah, I'll buy that. Army of Darkness right around there.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably Army of Darkness. So, so we also talked about Kang the Conqueror possibly being the next big baddie for the Marvel MCU. I guess that's, repeating myself, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And there's this guy, House of D, who replied, I really think Galactus should be the next big baddie.
I don't agree with him because Galactus is the end game, right? I mean, yeah. who are you going to bring on after Galactus? You know what? Like, you know, after that, you're into battles with Celestials and you lose the story in the sheer scope of trying to tell an interesting story. Whereas Kang is really interesting.
If that were true, they'd have stopped writing Fantastic Four books in 1967.
Well, yeah but in my defense, that was 1967 and, you know, but our palettes weren't as refined as they are now. And we also didn't apparently understand power scaling issues back then.
I refuse to believe that Jack Kirby didn't understand power scaling issues.
He came up with the ultimate nullifier. It's like, well, I came up with this big eternal guy that can eat planets. What do I do? Oh, just a little doohickey that is basically, you know, will nullify anything.
So, okay. Like, the end of every single Doctor Who episode ever written?
But that's
Touché.
Doctor Who. That's Doctor Who, damn it.
So D-Square went on to say, Kang is an interesting choice, but I'm not sure how I feel about his introduction happening on a show. Maybe I would feel better if it wasn't a show behind a paywall. Nah, I'd still complain. Hashtag first world problems. Which again, we've talked about that on the show too, this idea of like possibly doing things in the shows that are going to affect things in the movies. And is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's a good thing. Makes the TV shows mean something.
This is true, right? Because like when you have stuff that happened in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that didn't matter at all in the movies, it's like, well, then who cares, right?
Well, it gives you a much broader canvas on which to paint this picture. Like if you're just doing movies, there's only so many movies you can do on that kind of a budget with that scale of production, right? But if you want to tell more stories and bring in more characters and give them all tragic backstories so that you can feel for them, it's going to be a lot easier to introduce way more of them on the TV side.
Yes. Yes, that's true. And I kind of feel like they're going to treat these shows like just extended movies. They're not going to feel like an episodic TV show, as in most binging stuff is treated anyway. And it should be interesting. So we'll see. So we also had talked about the amazing voice cast of Masters of the Universe coming out.
Yeah, somebody made a pact with the devil for that.
So KD, at KD1017 retweeted us and said, this is so exciting. We agree, KD. We really think it's a cool cast. And returning offender, I Said Hi, said, it will be a streaming pile of irredeemable crap, i.e. a normal Kevin Smith production.
Ooh. Oh. I'd say shots fired, but there's nothing left after that.
Well, I mean, are we talking Kevin Smith Clerks? Or are we talking Kevin Smith Tusk If you're talking Tusk, I agree. If we're talking Clerks, I think, you know, no, you're wrong.
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. JD, you're being quiet.
I don't know what to think.
Were you ever a Kevin Smith fan?
I like his podcasts. I like some of his earlier movies. I don't know. I'm okay with him.
Were you ever a He-Man fan?
Kinda. My little brother was more of the He-Man fan than I was. Like, we talked about this last week. I like it. You know, I'm okay. I'll watch it.
Well, yeah. Hopefully it doesn't go the way the 90s one did, where most people don't even remember that it actually happened.
When he was like Star Wars He-Man.
Yes, yeah. Even though that was supposedly a direct sequel to the original.
All I know is that if there's a scene in this show where He-Man and Man-at-Arms stop and they start either talking about sex or making penis jokes, or they argue about what's better, Star Wars or Lord of the Rings, I'm out.
I doubt that's going to happen in this one, but should be fun.
Freaking Kevin Smith.
So, we had a little poll this week, our new fun thing here on Social Media Madness.
Little polls.
Define fun.
Little polls, like my children once were.
See, I enjoy playing with little polls. That was meant to be awkward.
So remember we talked about mashups and what would make a good, interesting mashup, because we had talked about My Little Pony Meets the Transformers.
Yay! I mean, that should be fun.
So the options that we gave everyone, of course, were Quantum Leap, mashed up with The Fugitive, House and the X-Files, Sherlock and Monk, and Family Guy and X-Men.
144 votes. Not bad.
Yes.
Gotta get more people to vote for this, though.
Well, we shall, so out of those, choices, in order of lowest to highest, the lowest was House X-Files crossover at 20.8%. Then it was the Sherlock Monk crossover at 21.5%.
Oh, come on, you know that would have been, cool.
Coming in at a fairly close second was Family Guy X-Men. We'll get to that in a second. At 28.5%. And of course, JD's brilliant take on Quantum Leap, mashing up with The Fugitive wins at 29.2%.
Because it was really good. Donald Belisario, if you're listening, hire me.
I think your choices have won all the polls so far.
Because I'm that good.
And so modest, too.
Yeah. Usually I stack the deck, but I forgot this time.
We also got a lot of replies on this poll. Of course, starting off with our good friend, Random Randy Savage. So here's my pitch for House X-Files crossover. Scully gets infected with some type of space lupus. Mulder calls on one of the best doctors in the area, who immediately says, it's not lupus. He also said another crossover they should have done when the show was still around, Lie to Me and House, about the FBI profiler who can read lies. They would annoy the hell out of each other and try to get Cuddy into the Devil's Threesome. Oh, that was bad.
That took a weird turn.
Yes, it did. James Grogan had suggested Fall Guy and the $6 Million Man.
Well, they would have saved money on actors.
The Ucho Duro Parlay Hour podcast said, got to go with Family Guy X-Men. Of course, So Wizard tweeted a gif of Sam from Quantum Leap saying, oh boy. The Huh podcast said, the Quantum Leap Fugitive would seriously be sweet. Kind of a DC Legends Doctor Who thing. I didn't think of it that way, but I guess you could say that. I went with Quantum Fugitive, but only because I felt like I already knew what X-Men Family Guy would be like with the episode with the toxic waste. And that's from Dynathrax. Yes, I'm sorry. I didn't think about it till after I said it. But yes, they did do that already on the show. Randy said he was shouting at his speaker the whole time about that episode. Okay, Randy. Geek to Me Radio said Sherlock and Monk would be brilliant. So there you go. Someone likes you, John. Harsh, but Dave said Stargate Terra Nova. I don't know Terra Nova.
Oh, that's a kind of obscure one.
I never watched it.
I think that's the one where they go back in time because, like, the planet is ending or something, and so they send people back to the dinosaur
times. Yes, you're right.
Because messing with time like that would never screw things up.
No,
wait a second. They needed to go back in time to live because their planet was ending, so they sent them back during the one possible era where they could have gotten eaten by giant monsters?
Yes.
Where's the logic in that?
No, I think they weren't supposed to go back that far, but there was an issue, because I did watch the pilot, now that you've said it. There was an issue where they went back to there, and then I don't think they couldn't go forward again.
So Land of the Lost.
Basically. Randy Monk probably had the best one. Barney Miller Breaking Bad crossover.
Oh, that would be awesome.
And Dave Elliott said, I'd like to see an Oz Love Boat crossover.
Oh my god.
A prison boat.
Where they all find love.
Whether cross you that, like it or not.
Exactly.
Cross that with Deep Star 6 and you got something.
So, that is our poll for the week. Thank you for everyone who participated and commented. And if you would like to know more how you can be a part of Social Media Madness, Dave, let them know where they can find more.
Are you enjoying the show? Do you want to be part of our Social Media Madness? Well, then make sure you're following Superhero Speak. Go to superheroespeak.com and you can find all our social media links at the top of the page. And don't forget to check the page often, because we are posting comic book reviews every day, plus comic book news, movie news, and you can even find old episodes of the podcast while you're there. And when you go follow us on Twitter at Superhero Speak, also don't forget to follow the Geek World All-Stars Podcast Network. You can find them at stars_geek. Those podcasts are the Pop Prism Power Podcast, Cult 45, So Wizard, Fans on Patrol, Gorilla Brain Podcast, and yours truly, Superhero Speak. Also, search for the hashtag GW All-Stars while you're on there. You won't be disappointed.
All right.
Did you seriously just throw to yourself?
Yes. Yes, I did. You got a problem with that?
If I say yes, will you answer yourself?
Or will you throw to yourself to answer it?
And will we be double-teamed at this point? Is this the crisis of infinite days? Possible second episode title.
Crisis of Daves. Yes, it is. And it is such a crisis that I think now I need to take a commercial break. After these messages, we'll be right back. All right, guys, we are back. Are we ready for some news?
No, but sure.
All right. Well,
you're just so enthused today.
I got this cough. I'm trying to hit the cough button, and sometimes I'm missing it, and I apologize.
Don't mind me. I've got cough drops, too, because I spent today talking to developers, teaching them how to do some stuff. And
Your coughs aren't as bad as John's extremely loud keyboard.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
John be pounding those keys.
So in a recent... Hey. Interview.
Leave my private life out of this.
In a recent interview, Mark Ruffalo revealed that Kevin Feige almost left Marvel over a clash with Disney on female superhero movies.
That is interesting.
For them or against them?
So, basically, long story short, he said he said to the crew when they were filming Age of Ultron that he was going to go talk to them about wanting to do a female lead movie. And that if things didn't work out, he probably wouldn't be back to finish up Age of Ultron. So he was fighting to do it. And, of course, Isaac Perlmutter, which was, you know, one of Disney's largest shareholders at the time anyway.
Shareholder with the biggest nose. Do you see that picture of him that floats around?
argued that people didn't want to go see female superheroes. And... So apparently it was a battle about that. But of course, we all know that we now have Captain Marvel in the MCU. We've had Black Widow. Black Widow has her solo movie coming out this year. And the rest is history, as it were.
I can go count some pencils. That's a deep lore joke, because during the bankruptcy, Ike was so cheap he would walk into the office and make employees take inventory of how many pencils they had and whatnot. Paper clips.
Yeah, yeah.
Cheap ass.
Now, I don't know, but here's the thing. I mean, of course, they point to Perlmutter for this, but there had to have been other support on Disney. And the only thing I will say, and I mean, of course, I don't defend the position, but the sympathetic side of me says, well, the reason they bought Marvel was to attract more boys to Disney. And I bet there was a fear that if they started introducing female superheroes, they might lose the boy demographic.
Spoken like a true executive.
Yeah, basically. I mean, seriously, come on.
Well, think about when you were a 10-year-old boy. Would you want to play with a Captain Marvel action figure or play with a Spider-Man action figure?
We never had those choices when I was a 10-year-old boy because they didn't exist.
Yeah, same with me.
Like, I was a completist when it came to toys. Like, I wanted all the toys. And I don't think that RC sold worse than any of the other Transformers.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I had April O'Neil, come to think of it, because I had all the Ninja Turtles. And I had to have April because you couldn't have the turtle battles, like the turtle things, without April.
All right. I mean, I guess that's something you could look into.
I had Scarlet and Lady J, too, now that I think about it.
I had Scarlet, of course.
But did you have the Baroness from G.I. Joe?
Scarlet and Lady J are from
G.I. Joe. From G.I. Joe. No, yeah. I honestly skimped on the Cobras.
Mm. My brother had Baroness.
But yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, that wasn't an option.
Well, there was Princess Leia.
Oh yeah, I had Princess Leia too.
Did he get to find her?
You know, the only female in the galaxy.
True that. You know, I think it's an unfair assumption that boys won't play with female toys, but girls are supposed to be able to play with male toys. Like, you can't have Barbie without Ken.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, and I'm not saying like, and yeah, you know, like, I do think boys would rather play with a female toy, but that's also saying that like, there's not girls that want to play with superheroes. Like, there's tons of girls that like superhero stuff. My wife was a tomboy and watched all kinds of like, quote unquote boy shows growing up. So I do think it's a little sexist to have that. I'm glad that Feige won, because he's a much more important piece of the Marvel puzzle than Hooknose.
Oh my God.
I hate him. He's evil. So I'll just keep saying something.
I don't know him personally. I've never met the man. People I know that have worked for him have complained about him, but I'll leave it at that. But I don't know him personally to attack him like that.
You've never heard on a podcast interview. Like, I'm going to say a sentence that nobody's ever said. Ike Perlmutter is a great guy.
No, you have never heard that before.
Never heard it, never read it. No one's ever said that. It's weird to speak words that have never been said before.
This is true. Yeah. Well, speaking of people who run comic books companies and are bigwigs, of course, the big news, comic book wise, that came out this week, Dan DiDio has left DC. So there was some, mystery around whether he quit or was let go.
He fired.
I was about to say, it appears now that he was let go from DC.
Let go. You mean escorted out of the building?
Yes.
Literally was.
Mm. And so Dan DiDio was responsible for the New 52, Rebirth. So basically,
going back further than that, like Identity Crisis and Infinite Crisis, like he was the spearhead for DC for the last 15 years.
Right. So the rumor is that they were unhappy with him wanting to reboot the DC universe again,
yeah.
with 5G, which is their new big event that is happening this summer.
Now, tell me this is not some stupid marketing ploy. AT&T and the other cell services are trying to roll out 5G networks, and they're going to do 5G for comics.
Hey, I thought when I was reading, it was like, if 5G fails, DC is done. And I was thinking, really? Like 5G, the wireless? Like the like, I thought the same, I couldn't understand the headline at first. Like, it was so, shows you how much, like, how but much when, keeping up.
Right, but when you realize AT&T owns Warner.
That's what I thought it. That's where I thought the connection was.
Yes, so that gets into the other part of the story is now there are rumors floating around. Some started by a former guest of the show who will remain nameless.
Current malcontent.
And that if the 5G crossover fails, that they said their DC will stop publishing comics.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
I mean, after they went through like the early 90s, like nobody's going to stop DC, not like that.
Well, DC's an IP farm,
and exactly. And then the of course the bigger rumor that spun off of this is that Marvel was going to take over DC Comics.
So you know what's funny about this is this is how some rumors actually get started, is because there is truth to this rumor. This was actually proposed shortly after the DC implosion of 1978. Mm-hmm. And that Jim Shooter talked about this in an interview that Warner thought, because Warner's been involved with DC for decades. Like the rumor was, like it was a rumor. Like Warner actually had like loose conversations with Shooter about licensing Marvel, had discussions with Shooter back when he was the EIC at Marvel about licensing some of the characters. That didn't happen, but this is 40 years ago.
Yeah, I mean,
in a much different environment.
Yes, and I can see, especially 40 years ago, the idea of there's still DC characters, they're being licensed to another publisher to do all the heavy lifting, writing the stories, creating the books, and publishing them, and then, you know, they share in the profits. And I can see that. But today it makes no sense. In today's world of these blockbuster movies, you're not going to hand over your IP to Marvel.
Right. It makes zero sense.
Yeah.
For Warner Brothers to hand over billions of dollars to their rival and their competitor. And because we have a story link on this show this week in our show notes from Cosmic Book News.
That was just the first link that was talking about this, but there are other sites, and most of them are the rumor sites, not the actual news sites, but.
Right, because it's like Weekly World News, man. Like, it's not real. Like, it makes no sense business-wise. Why would Warner sit there and say, you know what? We're tired of Batman money.
Yes, yeah.
Well, you know, when it gets too deep, it is hard to get around your house. I mean, excuse me, mansion.
Oh, but that's when you do the Scrooge McDuck thing, and you get a money bid, and then you go swimming in it.
Oh, that's what that was for. Okay.
Yeah. Life is like a hurricane here in Duckburg. Like, that's the thing, though. Thank you. That's the thing. It's like what people who say things like that are either trolling, like EBS is, or they just don't have any clue how business works. Warner Brothers is a multi-billion-dollar-a-year company. Running DC Comics is nothing to them. It's a loss leader. And as we're going to talk about with the current Batman uniform, that's what it is. It's R&D. You look at that thing and go, oh, yeah, that's Scott Snyder's Batman Year One. Like, this is what it's for.
Yeah.
It's to cultivate new talent. So these rumors are stupid. I would like to talk more about what the loss of Dan DiDio means, though, to the comic book industry.
Oh, and?
What do you guys think? Like, I think that's the more interesting thing, is like, he's been such a stalwart presence in comics for so long.
It's definitely, you know, obviously, we've all worked at different companies, and when things aren't going well, they blame people. And I do think, because DC sales have gone down over the last few years, that they're blaming him. And, you know, so they kicked him to the curb. I don't think he's done you know, he's not going to stop doing comics. He's just done at DC at this point.
I think he'll probably, heck, that new Gemist company he might wind up at.
Yeah. I mean, he might go and write an independent book. You never know. You know, like,
awesome.
This is a chance for him to create his own thing.
Is this well deserved? Because I'm of two minds on the subject, so I want to hear what you think first, Dave.
Well, the other thing was, the one article was talking about a disagreement between him and Scott Snyder. And Scott...
Whoa, which one do you root for?
He didn't,
Scott Snyder.
He did not want to reboot Batman again. So, like, that's... I mean, again, there's no... That's a rumor. There's no proof one way or the other on that right now. But apparently he went to the bigwigs and was like, I can't let this guy force me to reboot Batman again. So, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think you fire Dan DiDio because Scott Snyder's not happy about rebooting.
No, but I think that they're the other side of the coin. Dan DiDio's had a lot of early successes with DC, like Identity Crisis and Infinite Crisis. Like, they made money for the company, but I think that he kept going to that crisis well, like every chance he get. Like, look, anytime that they needed like a boost, his answer was to reset continuity in some way, shape, or form. Like, and this happened a lot. And there's only so many times you can go to that well. And I think that the stain of the new 52, which is like, you know, 9 years ago now, and then they rebooted again, and now he wants to reboot again?
Well, that's the thing. And it's like, how about instead of rebooting, you go to your pool of writers and say, you know, what ideas do you have? How do you think we can, you know, do an event that doesn't reboot the universe and makes the readers happy?
But I think that's part of the problem, though, is that, you know, he did a lot to cultivate talent, but at some point, a lot of talent was like, had gotten sick of him. Like, look at guys like Tom King. Look at guys like Scott Snyder. Like, a lot of times, Greg Rucka. A lot of people leave DC eventually.
A lot of people have left DC, yes, in the last 15 years.
Yeah. Besides, I mean, like, and not come back. Like, look at Mark Waid, you know?
Yeah.
Besides, you've got to let these storylines breathe. I mean, if you're going to reboot every, like, 5 years, you are literally not giving any of the writers time enough to, you know, to bring up their own stories, because they're constantly having to revamp everything because, oh, I'm sorry, my Batman just got wiped out by Flashpoint 8, you know? So and as a reader, I don't want to keep having to re-remember the new continuity every, you know, 2-3 years because they think their sales is flagging. It's like, you can't keep driving storylines based on the fact that your stock isn't going up at a certain percent a year.
Well, this goes, I mean, this also goes back to just the general issue with comics today. You know, again, people complaining that, too much continuity at this point with some of these characters going back 70, 80 years. And it just brings to mind the whole thing. You know, Jeff Loeb said, years ago, he envisioned a world where there was no more ongoing series. It was just, you did a Batman story in it. Maybe it was a one issue, maybe it was a four issue arc. And then you went and maybe a few months later you did another one. And they had nothing to do with each other. It was just a story about with Batman in it. You know, no worrying about connecting continuity. And I kind of thought that's where they were starting to go with the DC Black label, but you know, they showed Batman's penis, and that seemed to, like, go away.
Yeah, it really did.
There's no correlation between the two. But
that's what's funny, and, like, that's what's funny, too, because that's what was – they killed Vertigo in favor of this Black Label thing, and it really has had a hard time getting off the ground. And I guess it's another reason why this whole thing – I'm colored in a certain way on this, because Dan DiDio killed my long gestating project at Vertigo. So I don't like him because, like, I'm not, like, ever, like, I told the story before where I had a bunch of the Vertigo editors, like, ready to go, and, like, they were talking to me, and then they weren't because that's comics, and that's fine. I mean, like I said, it is what it is, but at the same time, like, I think he's made a lot of poor business choices. Not to say, like, my silly Vertigo book would have had a major impact on DC, but I think he's made a lot of choices that were based on not what's best for storytelling, but what's best for, like, stunting, you know, like getting
sales
people. Yeah. Not just sales, but it's hard to get a return on stuff. You know, like it was always like the big stunt is what I should say.
Yeah.
Like, unlike Marvel, until, like, during the Quesada era specifically, a lot of the stuff was like the writers were the ones who were like dictating the pace of the stories. You know, it wasn't until Axel Alonso came in that it became more like editor driven. And it seems like DC has been more editorial driven the last 6-7 years.
Yeah. Which is upside down.
It is. It's like Marvel in the 90s, which coincidentally, who's the editor-in-chief there? Bob Harris.
Yeah, and what happened to Marvel in the 90s?
Yeah, went bankrupt.
Yep.
You know, that's the thing. And there's a lot of the, because it was always about these big earth-shattering events, where when Marvel kind of rebuilt themselves under Quesada, it was smaller storytelling, to build it up. And then when they did Civil War, it was huge, because it was the first time they really did a big crossover like that.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that brought them back was Marvel Knights. It was all
right.
Smaller stories.
Right, and they pushed that to the greater line, and it really helped, because you had a lot of, you had some of the best Marvel stuff ever. You had, Bendis on Daredevil, you had Brubaker's Captain America run. That's really a new golden age of Marvel. Matt Fraction's work on, Iron Man.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
JMS on Spider-Man. I mean, say what you want about those things. They were creator-driven stories,
yep.
And they did get sales. So, and it just, there's that opposite mentality in comics that Dan DiDio subscribed to, which is, the event is what sells. And it doesn't matter who's doing it. Because, look who's not working for Marvel anymore, or for DC anymore. Jeff Johns.
Yeah.
Who was their biggest creator
yep.
for the better part of a decade.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've already said they've lost a lot of creative people. And that's, that's the whole thing. Maybe he does deserve the blame here. And, he chased away creative people that were writing good stories that were selling. I think the only reason Scott is still there is he loves Batman too much.
What is stuff sold? He's in an era where DC stuff, because remember that New 52, DC was gangbusters for 5-6 months. And at the very end of it, the only thing that was still selling really well was Scott Snyder's Batman.
Yeah, but that's, that's also Quarter of Owls and all that great stuff. And that's the one, yeah. That's the one book that does not feel like it was affected at all by New 52.
Right, because he ignored the majority of it.
Yeah, and exactly, and that's what sold. So that speaks volumes.
Because all the stuff that was really super heavy New 52-y, it's only been 9 years, and it's all been wiped away. None of it happened.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Superman in jeans and hurting people
yeah.
was just not good.
Right.
Yeah, they betrayed basically everything, all the values that they had built all these superheroes around.
All right, and they said the line needed to be refreshed. Well, who let the line go stagnant to begin with?
Mm-hmm.
My personal opinion colors this, but I don't think he did more damage than good. I think he started off hot but became a one-trick pony.
Yeah, and that happens a lot. It does, and,
It does.
Especially in businesses like this, it's like, you do something that's successful, so you just keep repeating it, thinking it's going to be successful over and over again. And, it's like rebooting the same franchises over and over again.
Let's say that. I said that return on your investment. I think that in pro wrestling, they used to say that it was best to change the bookers every year or two because guys would run out of creative steam and you needed to bring a fresh voice in. And I do think that there needs to be a fresh voice in top in DC. If I were them, I'd hire Jeff Johns. I'm not sure what he's doing right now. Try to get him back because he was the one guy who really got the universe and was doing his a decade ago. He was the linchpin of the DC universe.
He was. Said
that he's not really doing anything anymore.
Wasn't he the one they were talking about trying to get to head up their movies as well at one point?
Yeah, it didn't happen. I mean, people. I think he somehow unfairly got the blame for what happened with the Green Lantern movie.
Oh, and yes.
It never quite worked out again.
That Green Lantern movie hurt a lot of people.
Because it sucked.
It may have sucked, but it's still one of the few universes that still exist in the CW multiverse.
All right, so who should take Dan DiDio's place? You're saying Jeff Johns.
Jeff Johns or Mark Waid. I'd try to get maybe Mark Waid back. I mean, he's a persona for the last decade, but no one loves the DC universe more than Mark Waid.
So you would leave Scott Snyder writing?
I don't think Scott Snyder wants to be in charge. I think he wants to just do his thing and be left alone.
Yeah.
I mean, who wants an editor or a boss telling a writer how they need to tell a story? It's one thing to be hey, this can make this better. It's another thing this is the story we want to tell. Batman has to get from A to B to C. Go write that book. That's not fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
true. Who do you think? Who would you like to see run in this universe?
Yeah, I don't know. I know Jeff Loeb's not worth doing anything right now.
Oh, you know what? That's a good call.
Hey, hey, the rumor is the Batman movie is going to be based on the Long Halloween. So, I mean, come on now.
John, you like DC. What do you think?
Ah, you lost me. You lost me ages ago in this. I mean,
but I mean, who do you think? I mean, if you could see one guy kind of spearhead DC Comics, who would it be? Who would you like to see?
Oh no, just based on stuff that we have talked about for the last 4 years, let's say Geoff Johns.
I agree. Let's say Geoff Johns or Mark Waid.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know Mark Waid off the top of my head. That's the thing, you know.
Oh, he wrote the Good Flash run. He had an he was like the soul of the New 52. Oh. I'm sorry, not New 52. I'm sorry, 52. The actual book 52.
Yeah.
Like Mark Waid, super creative guy.
And then what is Jim Lee's current title there?
Still he's currently the only publisher.
Okay, so he was the co-publisher. Okay, with him.
All right. He probably got a nice little promotion out of this as the sole publisher. But Jim Lee's never been a guy who's been like a story guy. Nope. And I think by his own admission.
Right, and I think that's why they had co-publishers. So
right, because he was a big picture business guy.
Yeah,
clearly.
Oh yeah.
Smart. I mean, no one can ever take away his business acumen for sure.
And he draws some pretty pictures too.
He used to.
Well, speaking of things that have disappointed us, of course we got better looks at the Batman suit for the Batman coming out. Now you made an interesting point already, JD, about year one look to it.
0 year, not year one, 0 year.
Yeah.
Which
you're probably right to a point, but I don't know. It still doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, especially Batman sense. like, why has he got things that look like darts on his arms?
Court of Owls.
Oh, is that what that's from?
Yeah. That's from straight design from the Court of Owls.
Yeah, that's true.
Like I said, like these pictures, nothing ever looks good in these grainy cell phone pictures where nothing is lit properly or, you know, been digital. Like, I don't know. I hate making judgment based on these. I really do.
Well, I will say this. It does look like they took my suggestion. Now that we can see it a little better, it looks like he has lenses in his eyes.
Yeah, we talked about that.
I wonder if that's permanent or if that's just for the
motorcycle
or what. I don't know. At least it looks different. This doesn't bug me.
A lot of people keep comparing it to the Daredevil costume.
I thought that when we got the Vimeo test footage, when all you could see was like the brim of the cowl, I thought it looked very Daredevil. But here I don't see Daredevil.
Yeah. I think the ears on the cowl look a little odd, but, you know, everyone's got to try to do something a little different, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like we're getting rid of the to reality stuff that we had done before, and now we're back to more comic booky. I mean,
yes, you know what?
That's okay with me.
Yes, that's what it is. It is more comic booky.
technical term.
It might be more. It's comic booky meets like the Dark Knight trilogy a little bit. You know, because of the idea that, well, it's armor, so it's more realistic for him to wear armor. Where, you know, let's be honest, I think the most comic booky costume was Affleck's. You know,
yeah,
because it was
it looked more like it was come from the pages of a comic book. Yeah,
but it still looked functional. I mean,
I don't know. I don't think any superhero costume looks functional, with the exception of what we're going to talk about in the next story.
So yeah, so it's interesting. I am curious what our fans think. And you're right. It's also one of those things. Once you see it in a preview, it'll look different there as well.
Right, because like movie stuff is all smoke and mirrors, man. Like, it's only meant to look good in that little frame.
Oh, and then of course the other joke that's been made is he's got like the bat ears on the top of the motorcycle, where it's like if he stops short, he's going to impale himself.
Yeah.
Oh, I had not noticed that before. That's true.
But it also makes me wonder if they're going to CG a windshield on it.
I wonder if they're going to CG a cape.
Oh, I hope they CG a cape. That would be too weird. Batman without a cape?
Zero year. Like I said, he didn't have...
Oh, yeah, either that or that's Batman Beyond. Batman Beyond doesn't have a cape. So.
Batman Beyond did not have a cape.
Oh, yeah. My God. This isn't Batman Beyond.
I know. How sad is that?
I would like to see a Batman Beyond movie.
Seriously.
All right. Well, let's not get into that. And let's delve into a completely different topic. Yet we did mention G.I. Joe's earlier already, which is odd. And of course, everyone's favorite creator, Rob Liefeld, is doing a Snake Eyes story, and we got a first look at Snake Eyes Dead Game number one. Just recently came out, a preview, and for Rob Liefeld, the art looks pretty good.
Yeah, he's gotten better. I see feet. Yeah, so you can't really like.
You see feet.
Though the mummy thing that Snake Eyes is fighting is
so Liefeld.
Yeah, exactly.
If you look at this, this is the most Rob Liefeld looking thing that G.I. Joe could possibly be.
Yes, exactly. Like, I mean, Snake Eyes looks good.
Functional.
Mm. Functional kind.
Yes, very functional. And
with pouches.
Oh, well, of course. You
gotta have your pouches.
Every superhero has pouches.
Every Rob Liefeld superhero has pouches.
Yes.
True.
Yes, that's always been the running joke. Have you ever seen those old videos of him and Todd McFarlane like doing instructional videos on how to draw comic books?
No.
Oh, they're
old. Are they from the 90s?
No, they're so 90s. Stan Lee is in them as well, and he's talking to them, and then like they're sitting there, and at the end of the series, I think there's like five or six episodes all together in it. It was a series of VHS tapes that came out. They're saying Stan Lee like challenges them to create a character. And of course they just start drawing and then Liefeld's putting all these pouches and all these crazy guns on them. And I'm like, yeah.
This is Murder Hawk.
Pretty much. That's how they create a character. So are either of you interested in picking this up?
Oh God, no.
Now
My buddy Paul Allen writes the mainstream G.I. Joe book, which is pretty cool. But I don't know. I've just never been into Liefeld that much. So it's not like I hate him. It's not like I'm like, oh, I won't read anything Rob Liefeld does. It's just, I don't know, zero appeal to me.
Yeah. So is he doing this book so he can get a piece of the Snake Eyes movie that they're making?
I think he's doing the book to get paid.
Oh, okay.
Quite frankly. What do you think, John, being quiet?
I don't know. I mean, doing the Snake Eyes thing so long after the G.I. Joe movies is kind of, you know, they waited long enough.
They're rebooting with a Snake Eyes movie. I thought you knew that.
Yeah, but still, I mean, is G.I. Joe still, like, popular?
I don't think so, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It will always be popular to me.
I mean, is this movie going to happen, to be honest with you?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything in a while, but...
Snake Eyes is scheduled to be released in theater, read the article, J.D., October 23rd, 2020. Maybe it is.
Well, there you go. So they must be filming it.
Yeah.
I hope.
But that's still like, all right, G.I. Joe. Yeah. Yo, Joe.
You know what? You just didn't grow up knowing, and knowing is half the battle.
I grew up avoiding G.I. Joe.
I loved the cartoon. I did. I was perfect age.
Yeah.
I think I was watching Centurions at the time.
Oh, I don't even know what that is.
Of course you would be.
You'd have to look it up. There were a lot of weird little cartoons like that. But the G.I. Joe stuff was just too vanilla for me.
My son asked, he was just talking, like, what about if you could stack robots on top of each other to make, like, a big robot? So.
Well, have you done stories for him?
I introduced him to Voltron. Like, we watched the Voltron intro, because that's all he ever is interested in, is watching intros. So he was pretty impressed. Voltron, and then I showed him Car Voltron, and he said Lion Voltron's cooler, and I'm like, you're right.
Yeah.
Blow his mind and show him Devastator.
Devastator, Computron, and all the others that they came up with.
He knows that he's seen Devastator before, but I figured it was a good time to introduce him to Voltron.
Yeah.
Because why not?
Now that's good parenting.
I'm a good parent. He knows lots of 80s and 90s stuff. He said he won't try to play Voltron at school, but no one wanted to play Voltron with him.
Because no one knew what Voltron was.
Correct. I'm older than all the parents.
Yeah, but I'm sure as soon as he showed it, they'd be like, oh, he's got the coolest dad ever.
Or they just think it was Power Rangers because he's got a bunch of kids that want to play Power Rangers.
Still?
Yeah. Hey, think about I'm probably a good 5-6 years older than most of his other parents, and that's right in that prime Power Ranger window if those parents are doing the same thing I'm doing.
Oh, that's probably true. Yeah, because I don't even think it's on TV anymore. Maybe it is. I don't know.
There might be a newer Power Rangers. I was just a little bit too old for it other than to like, oh, wow, the Pink Ranger is super hot. But I was just a little too old to like really be in the Power Rangers, so it just never was my thing.
Yeah. Well, speaking of something that we all were into when we were kids, Lucasfilm has hired Slight director J.D. Dillard to develop a Star Wars movie.
Has anyone seen Slight? I've never seen it.
I've never seen it either.
I'm not even sure I know what it is, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, I don't know. Dillard is currently working on his next project, a Korean War epic titled Devotion. That movie is currently in pre-production stage. Yeah, I don't know. Like, so this is interesting, right? Because obviously they're bringing someone in to create a whole new Star Wars movie. Someone that we really don't know much about. And it makes you wonder, is there an idea? Because again, they're saying they hired him to develop and direct. So is there an idea, or did he present an idea, or, you know, they
just. Doesn't really say.
No, it doesn't.
Like, this is all so preliminary. We don't know if they approached him or if he approached them.
Right.
Hmm. Can I be honest? I'm good on Star Wars movies for a while. I'm much more interested in what they can do with the TV series.
I think it's basically what everybody thinks at this point.
Oh, they have him pegged to work along writer Matt Owens. Owens has written for a variety of Marvel TV shows, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Luke Cage, and The Defenders.
That could work.
Well, that's the question. That's why I brought this article up, because it's like, what do we want out of the Star Wars universe? Because, and of course, this also mentions that they're apparently still courting Taika Waititi to direct a Star Wars movie. Like that's the whole thing. They obviously, you know, they said they weren't going to do any Star Wars movies for a while, but yet they keep talking about trying to start all these new projects for Star Wars.
Well, it depends on how long they let it gestate. You know, just because you got a guy going doesn't mean you have to green light it and go into work right away. Like, people get attached to movies all the time, and it takes years to develop them.
This is true. This is true. But, like, A, how long do you think, Mandalorian aside, how long do you think we should wait before we get another Star Wars movie? And what would you want from a Star Wars movie? Do you want another Skywalker saga?
No, you need a whole new start. Come on. You literally need a whole new start. You need to grow the universe, or else they're just gonna retread the same stuff again, and it's not gonna be as interesting.
I don't know what I want. I kinda wanna see what someone else has to say about the Star Wars universe.
Exactly. Give it to somebody who can surprise us.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that
give it to Geoff Johns.
I bet you can do it. For real? I bet his stuff would be very JJ, though, because Jeff really likes to write about the stuff he was into, more so than, like, you know, inventing things.
But when he does, he pulls out little bits of trivia and puts them together in a really neat storyline.
He does. I think he kind of functions similar to Geoff Johns, but I'm sorry. Yeah, I think JJ and Geoff Johns kind of do something similar, but I think JJ is not as good at hitting the dramatic beats.
No.
As Johns, I think Johns gets people more, to be honest with you.
Yeah. No, I'm saying Geoff Johns. I wouldn't want J.J. Abrams. I'm not.
No, I know. Yeah, I convinced Abrams myself. Anymore. No, I convinced myself you were right. That's what I just did.
Okay. Thank you.
Because at first I wasn't sure, but now I'm like, oh, you know what? This is good. This would work. So yeah, Geoff Johns. I don't know. I don't know what I want. That's the thing. I kind of want someone to tell me what I want, not me tell them, because it doesn't work like that. When the fans tell the creators what they want, you never get what you think you want, because what you actually want is something you don't know.
Well, there's got to be somebody out there who loves Star Wars and has a really good idea for a new, fresh storyline involving characters that aren't named Palpatine or Skywalker or Solo or whatever, you know, that could, you know, really breathe new life into it.
We got that with Mandalorian.
Yes. Yeah, well, mostly. I mean, they're still on Tatooine.
I think they're on Tatooine because it's cheap to shoot in Tunisia.
Yeah. But that said, you're right, though. They brought something new on, and they found Baby Yoda, which was like discovering kryptonite.
That's what I'm talking about. Who knew they wanted Baby Yoda?
I know.
It turns out we all want Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
But, I mean, isn't that also part of the – I mean – well, I guess it's not an issue, but that's the whole thing, too, is they took the toys of Star Wars and made new ideas around the same existing toys. There's nothing new in Mandalorian.
No, but it's a different set of eyes. It's like comics.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's like, hey, we want new characters, new characters. No, you don't. You want Batman to wear a new hat. Like, you just want everyone to – you want that sense of familiarity – but like a new spin on it. Like, what did John Byrne call it? The illusion of change?
Yeah. And that's what the Mandalorian is. It's like, I mean, but it's still a new storyline and a new take on characters and expanding out the Mandalorian mythology of that, you know, you never really, like JD said, you never knew you wanted it, but now you definitely want it because it is cool. You want to know more.
Right, but I think we also run the risk of them beating that to death as well.
Well, maybe, but okay, so bring somebody else in to write about the, you know, bring back the Yuuzhan Vong, the invaders from outside the galaxy, or expand on, expand on a new Jedi Academy, or, you know, go full bore onto the gray Force users.
Or just do like, a total dregs of the story, like kind of what we thought Mandalorian might be, where it's just all scoundrels and rogues with these Jedi and like mystical things merely in the background.
Mm.
You know, like I would love to see like remember that one episode of Mandalorian where with Bill Burr, where it was like the big heist? I would like to see a whole Star Wars movie just about like these super morally gray bag, like Heat in Star Wars.
No, what you want is Star Wars with Firefly.
Confession time, I've never watched Firefly.
You're off the podcast.
Okay.
I've never really watched it either.
Oh my god.
So
what is wrong with you two?
So maybe you're off the podcast. No.
Yeah.
Hey. You can't do that because I've seen it.
What was I gonna say?
Don't nerd shame us.
Yes. There's plenty of things we've seen you've never seen.
Yeah, you gatekeeper. My new favorite insult.
Nice.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of what I want to see from Star Wars. I want to see someone, like, do something different, but, like, familiar enough.
So one of the issues I've always had with Star Wars is this whole, like, these weird rules that exist. You know, like the Sith, there's only two. You know, there's always only two, which is something that they set up in the prequels. You know, and I never thought of it before that, like, that way. You know? And then...
Well, there's only ever... There's more than just two, but there's always a master and a student. There's never like the Jedi do. With,
no, there's you know, always two. No more, no less. That's what Yoda says.
I was always wondering what that actually meant. Does that mean if you see a Sith, there's always another Sith? Or does that mean there's literally only two Sith in the whole universe? I never got it.
Well,
I think if there's only ever two, they wouldn't have lasted long.
That was my thought.
No, well, if you read in the novelization of The Phantom Menace, it goes on to explain that there was a whole race of Sith, and they kept killing
them. Did you just say a race of Sith?
Yes, there is a race. There is a race in Star Wars known as Sith.
I thought you said a racist Sith.
Oh, no.
My mistake.
No.
Well, the Sith are kind of racist, so.
And they ended up killing each other, and that's why they came up with the rule of two. This is all explained in novelization. I didn't read it. My friend read it and explained it to me.
Don, if you're listening, can you please explain this to us in a tweet? Because I know he can.
Yeah, he probably could. So it's like, but I've always, that's always bothered me, right? Because then the other idea is they would go around and check people's midichlorians to see who was force sensitive and then kidnap them and take them to the Jedi Temple. And raised them to be Jedi. And they couldn't have caught everyone. So you grow up having this power and no one to guide you with it. Like, you're going to do bad stuff with it, right?
If you're a rotten person, yeah.
Right. They never, like, explored any of that.
I agree. And they didn't explore the new ones either. What the hell are the Knights of Ren? They were just there.
Yeah.
They were very, very poor fighters.
Yeah, they are. Like, but so are Stormtroopers. But I expected them to be a level up. Remember Captain Phasma? We thought she was going to be really cool. No?
And, yeah. Right. Well, the deleted scene, the one that they left out was the one that showed her at least having a cool send-off instead of just, you know, pussing out.
Fall through a hole.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I like those movies, but there's a lot. They just reeked of too many creative voices and not enough uniform creativity, you know?
I know, you know, you can argue about Captain Phasma, but you can also sit there and argue, what did Boba Fett actually do?
Nothing. Now, he didn't do anything other than look cool.
Right.
But now but that's what Mandalorian is. Mandalorian delivers on the promise of Boba Fett.
Yes.
And he's way cooler, it turns out.
Apparently. Well, in some people's opinion.
Oh, he's way cooler. He saved Baby Yoda. He's a good guy.
Yep.
He's Boba Fett with a moral compass. That's what I'm saying. This is why it works. Because, like, it takes us something that we're familiar with, right? We're totally familiar with Boba Fett. We're totally familiar with Yoda. And it puts a different spin on the two of them, thereby giving us something new but familiar.
Right.
It's like pineapple on pizza. Some would look at that and go, that's disgusting. But then you go, you know what? It surprisingly works.
Yes, it does.
No, it really doesn't. But
I don't like it either, but most people do.
Now, I have a feeling, JD, you actually tried it and didn't care for it.
Yeah, I did try it.
John, did you actually try it?
Yes.
Or are you just one of these, no, you're anti-pineapple and pizza and you won't even try it?
Nope, I have tried it.
I doubt it.
Are you kidding me? Something about warm pineapple doesn't do it for me.
Yeah.
Warm fruit is weird to me, but...
Oh, like, yeah. It's the sweet and the savory together. It's so yummy.
Okay, we are just falling right off the edge here.
But that's kind of, like I was saying, that's what Mandalorian was. Or the calzone, if you will. All the calzone is a pizza folded in half. But everybody likes a calzone.
With regatta cheese.
Are you hungry?
No, I'm actually pretty full, but these are really good analogies. Food. Everyone gets food analogies.
Everyone?
Everyone but John.
Okay, good.
I get food. Well, I mean, if you, like, linked it to dark chocolate somehow, then maybe.
I make liquor analogies, but I don't drink. So.
Oh. Well, you know, more of the fool of you then.
It's like, it's like rum and Coke, you know?
There you go. That's not bad, actually. You like rum, you like Coke, you put it together, you get something totally new, but that's pretty good.
All right. So that's enough of that nonsense. All right, I think we can wrap it up for this week.
That's how we should end every show.
That's enough of this nonsense.
Yes, that's enough of this nonsense from these idiots.
You guys have any recommendations for our listeners out there, John?
Not really, no. I do have one, yes. And again, sorry, JD, this doesn't have a... this doesn't have a as cool a title as you have become accustomed to, okay. But there's two seasons of an anime called Assassination Classroom.
I kind of like the title, to be honest. It's pretty good.
It is pretty good. It has one of the best characters I have ever seen in it. Like, best characterization, best personality, best writing for a character it's really cool. Other people have told me about it, and I only just started watching it a couple of days ago because there's not a whole lot this season, and it's well worth it. There's only two seasons. It was only a two season show because it actually had a definitive ending. So you know, if you're into anime, Assassination Classroom would be something you'd want to check out.
Cool. All right. How about you, JD?
The Books of Jericho, Volume 1, by me, comes out Tuesday. Well, it would be the day after you're listening to this. For real, this nice little box set is going to be my first three books put together in one convenient tome, if you will. So if you've ever wanted to check out my stuff and been on the fence about it, this is going to be three books. It's going to be a little bit more expensive than the cost of one book. But it's like 1,000 pages, and you really get to know the world and the characters. So if you're interested, please check it out on Amazon, The Books of Jericho, Volume 1.
Cool.
Wolves, subtitle, Wolves, Warbs, and Worms. You'll get it when you read it.
Okay. Cool. Well, I will recommend that people check out superheroespeak.com. Again, for find old episodes of the podcast, you can see how to subscribe to the show. And, of course, there's always new comic book reviews and occasionally news going up. I will get better at that, I promise.
Just not from We Gotta Cover It, that's all.
Or Cosmic Book.
Cosmic Book, yeah. Took me a second. I had to read that two or three times before I finally got, oh, wait, that's not Comic Book.
Yes, it's Cosmic Book News.
It's a very deceptive name.
Yes, and I do think they did it on purpose.
Yes, because they're evil.
Yes. And I would also recommend do not go out and have 5 rum and cokes and 3 beers and then a pint of ice cream the next day, especially when you're trying to lose weight. It's just not a good idea.
The best news, though, is you can get back up and change it all tomorrow.
Yeah,
that's true. So on that note, boys and girls, as always, thanks for listening, and don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good week.